The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello and welcome to another Football to the Max. Yes, I apologize for not having a show on Monday night, but right when I was done watching all the games and getting ready, I had this really bad pain in my stomach, and so I took a nap for an hour, still had the pain. I kind of told Eric, yeah, I think we're just going to have to not do it. And then around 6 a.m., I decided to just go to the hospital because I couldn't sleep, and I found out I had appendicitis. So I wound up going in there for something I thought was like stomach pain to, oh, I got a surgery. So I stayed in there for about 24 hours, and here I am, having to recover from that to talking about football again. But that's why we didn't have a Monday show. But hey, we're here on a Friday morning discussing more football, so awesome.
Well, Sean, the most important thing is that you're feeling better, you're on the road to recovery, and you now cracked, like, the top five and most surprising text messages to wake up to in the morning.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I got that text, and I was thinking, yeah, that was a little bit worse than I expected. I just expect you to say, I had some gas, but no, it wasn't gas, so.
Yeah, because I had to cancel on them, too, and I was like, well, at least the canceling was worth it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we will be talking about the dreadful Jaguars and Bucks game that happened on ESPN. Unfortunately, I did not even realize that there were games on at 7, so I did not watch Jay Cutler's debut, and Eric missed it because I think he was still at work.
I was on my way home from work, but in seeing the highlights, I realized I didn't miss much. It was Jay Cutler being Jay Cutler.
Well, he threw like 7 passes, so
Yeah, 3 for 6, had a great pass called back, but while there are moments of greatness, there's also throwing right into double coverage. Being Jay Cutler.
It's true, but he's also got to get used to everybody and everything, so
yeah,
it's going to be a process.
I was a little surprised they were putting him back in so quickly. I thought they were going to give him a little bit more time in training camp before they threw him on the field. But, you know, I know that he needs time on the field to get ready for the regular season. It's just, you know, it's a little earlier than I expected.
I just feel tremendously bad for Matt Moore. Because, I mean, even in this offense and with this scheme, he's capable and he's better than decent. But it's just like, yeah, no. We're going to get someone else anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, poor guy. You know, but, you know, there's plenty of quarterbacks out there in his situation who just, they don't see enough in, you know, and what we see it time in and time out. You know, there's certain guys that just never get opportunities, and he just seems to be that one guy.
I think it's one of those two where Adam Gase not feel the pressure to, well, with Matt Moore, you kind of know what you have. Right, and that he's probably going to win you some games, but he also might lose some games, and he's under pressure to at least get them close to the playoffs, if not, you know, in the playoffs, and he might think, oh, you know, Jay Cutler got us close, but his talent wasn't as good as he has it here, so better talent. Maybe Jay Cutler uses that ability to, with my coaching and my system that he already knows, to get us into the playoffs and we don't miss too much. But we'll have to see.
Yeah, I just hope that he, you know, cares.
I don't think that's, again, I don't know if that's the problem here. I think he realizes that he has an opportunity. I mean, if he doesn't realize he has an opportunity here, I don't know what to tell the guy, right? I mean, you have an opportunity to be able to, if you take this team into where they're in playoff contention and they really can't draft one of those really good quarterbacks, you might be playing for that team for a little bit. If you choose to not play well or not care, they're just going to draft one of the really good quarterbacks and you're not going to be playing next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, up to him.
And job security in that position is not very good. And, you know, it's scary. And you've got to perform and you've got to show that you deserve the job. And you really have a magnifying glass on every single thing you do. All right? They're going to be paying attention and trying to find reasons to go find that younger quarterback. Most of these teams are. They're looking at veterans as basically being the stopgap between them getting a younger guy. And, you know, that's the trend at this moment in this league. Is it's not so much about having those solid veterans. Like, you know, when you're Green Bay and you're lucky to have Aaron Rodgers or your New England and Tom Brady guys you can depend on time in and time out, you don't even think about it. But they still, at some point, still draft guys because they want, you know, to look at guys just in case. All the other teams are desperately hoping they can get that new young upstart talent.
Well, they do like having veteran backups. So,
yeah.
You know. That's the difference. We've gone from, it doesn't matter who you have behind you, to, now we kind of do need to have people that can play behind us because so many of these guys get injured. And, yeah, you know, he might have a spot there, but again, for him, I wouldn't drop that broadcasting gig to go sit behind somebody. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, do what you're going to do. Just you gotta go out there and perform. But anyway, you know, speaking of performing, the number ones went out there and performed for a whole half on Monday Night Football on Thursday for ESPN. As you know, they gotta get into regular season form too. They get two games this week, as they get this Thursday game and then they get the Giants and Browns on Monday, which of course will be the game that kind of leads into our show here on the Monday night, so we'll get to practice that too. So we got to get into regular season four as well. So, you know, and hopefully not have any more surgeries while we're at it. But, yeah, I mean, so this game ended up 12-8. Thank you for the knocking on wood there. And
trust me, I have to.
And this was, other than Jameis Winston, who had his good moments, and Doug Martin got a run and a touchdown, which good for him because he needs to keep doing that if he wants to make sure that he has a spot on the team. This was a lot of sloppy play, as you'd expect in the preseason, especially on Jaguars' side, with people not being able to catch the ball, and Blake Bortles doing Blake Bortles things, and Leonard Fournette did not play, so
yeah, he has a touchdown run in Foxborough, exclaims, "Hey, the NFL is easy," and then someone steps on his toe. I'm thinking to myself, yes, this is typical Jacksonville. This is what happens with Jaguars players. I don't
also
know if someone
also you shouldn't say that, but yeah.
Well, of course you shouldn't say that, but Leonard Fournette fails to realize when you don the black and teal, and on rare Thursday night occasions the mustard, you're under a victim of what I'm pretty sure could be some sort of ancient voodoo curse. I don't know who placed it. I don't want to know. I don't know if I have to go around the whole stadium with sage to get rid of it. Maybe something will happen with the eclipse. But these sort of things happen down here more often than anywhere else.
Look, I'll get Mark Brunell on the phone and try to get him to reverse it. Let's just see if we can get that to happen.
Please do. I mean, he's in the pride of the Jaguars. He's still a beloved figure in the community. We don't hate him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Maybe some hay on Dante Fowler, who still hasn't produced.
No. Dante Fowler, there was, like, very little that he was able to do. Winston had a lot of clean pockets. And I noticed, where was our pass defense up the middle? Jameis, that's pretty much all he had to throw to, and completed, I think, 21 for 29. Just slant route, just wide open in the middle of the field. I could make throws in that situation.
Yeah, and the new tight end from Alabama, Howard, looked pretty good as well. And you also had, of course, Mike Evans being himself, although he dropped the touchdown. So, you know, you're going to get your ebbs and flows there with Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens that way. You know, and Howard is the guy I was really trying to pay attention to because I was a big fan of his coming out of college. So I'm really kind of excited about seeing how Jameis Winston uses him going forward.
Looked like they were going to do a lot of two tight end sets. So that's... And with Doug Martin, you might need to make sure he can actually run the ball, and then you can do play action and throw it to Howard or Evans or whoever on that end. So for the Bucks, that's going to be good. And I think, you know, what they pointed out on the commentary was that the Bucks defense is much better this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, and they were really good last year too, but they're even better. And so, you know, Jameis Winston doesn't have to force the ball to people. He can realize that, hey, sometimes you just got to let the defense go to work.
Yeah, and I mean, with how they were getting like fantastic pressure off the edge, not so much against Henny, but really making Blake Bortles uncomfortable. I mean, for this, I've always had to comment on how wide open the NFC South is. This is a team, make one or two tweaks, you can have a great run.
Mm-hmm. That's a true statement. And that's what's, you know, great for Buccaneer fans, is they could sit here and say, look, we've got some brand new weapons. We've got a quarterback in Jameis Winston who, honestly, you know, if he gets better, we could be a pretty tough team. And, you know, that's a great statement.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. This is the Jaguars, of course, are coming off that, you know, I think overhyped win against New England, came in here and kind of stunk up the joint on a much more primetime level.
That's why I didn't say anything. And my friend that I'd mentioned, the New Yorker, who specifically left me a voicemail about me mentioning this, the good old rules of the transitive property. You go ahead, you beat the best team in football, then you go and lose. That team that beat you is now the best team in football, if you go by boxing rules. So much for our reign at the top.
Well, and then when your coach goes and says that he wants you to go out there in the third quarter because your team sucked.
Well, was the first, was he wrong? No.
No, he wasn't, but that's that's just how bad the Jaguars were.
Yeah. You know, I felt so bad for Blake Bortles in this situation, man. I mean, and a lot of these other starters, too. And basically the entire Jacksonville Jaguars team, who really just did not play so well. So I look at that and say, man, the controversies are already starting, and that's never a fun thing for especially the fan base. But, man, I just feel bad for Bortles. He went from doing so many great things, especially for fantasy football fans, to all of a sudden not having a wonderful year last year to now, wow, already?
Well, this is what happens when you lose your mechanics. And I compare this to being an even worse situation than Tim Tebow, because Tim Tebow never really learned how to throw a football. So you can understand that. Blake Bortles, for a while, did. And all of a sudden, poof, it disappeared. Now you're trying to get that back. And it's working a little bit slower than a lot of people would like.
Well, got some not, you know, perhaps Sean Smith is going to hope that this process goes a bit slow for him after this news that comes out basically like during the game. We got this kind of news here that the Oakland Raiders cornerback has been charged with beating his sister's boyfriend last month. you know, Eric, you cover the Oakland Raiders for the Raider Ramble.
Yeah, this was a very interesting topic of conversation in the chat, and
I would say that he's got one felony count of assault by means of force likely to produce great bodily injury and battery with serious injury.
Okay, you add up all that, and I've developed a little bit of a principle over the last couple of years, and I'm usually spot on. If you wind up on TMZ before you wind up on NFL.com, game over. Guess who had the first crack on this story?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's done. He was on the fringes even before this little incident, as when it comes to making the 53-man roster. I mean, yeah. Bye.
Well, here's apparently this happened during that time between minicamp and training camp, that 6-week period. And here's what Jack Del Rio told his players when they left said minicamp. "I told our guys two major things: make sure that you're taking care of your bodies so you arrive in camp ready to work, and two, stay out of trouble."
Huh.
Well, Sean Smith didn't listen to that part.
See, having Jack Del Rio as a coach here in Jacksonville for a long time, I still say he kind of got screwed over. How much more simple can it be? He basically said, take care of yourselves, stay in shape, and don't do anything stupid. Now, if I'm in a position where if I'm on an NFL roster, and that's what my coach tells me, I figure, okay, I'm going to watch what I eat, I'm going to work out so I stay in shape, and I'm going to be very careful what I do so I don't do anything stupid. It's not hard.
I will say, before, sorry, Gary, last time I'll interrupt you here. This, of course, is still under investigation. He's going to be arraigned in Pasadena on September 29th. And if he's convicted, faces up to 7 years in prison. He's already pled not guilty, and he's going to fight this all the way through. He says he's innocent.
Oh, of course he says he's innocent. I mean, that's what he's going to, you know, need to do. First of all, you know, proclaim that before anything else gets out. And, you know, I don't know the whole situation. I know we know what we're hearing from, and we'll have to see how this whole thing shakes out. It's just a sad thing for him, and I wish I knew more of the details, but it's always a bad deal, especially once, you know, we get these charges put into place and the police, you know, kind of come forward and say we have the proof and all this stuff. So it's going to be a game over, like Eric said, and I feel really bad for this guy. And, man, you know, to go from playing in the NFL to possibly facing 7 years in prison or a jail, that sucks. That's a hardship, and that could conclude it for him.
Well, I mean, there is always prison football. I've seen some documentaries.
Hey.
Well,
yeah.
Let's be honest here. First of all, it's his sister's boyfriend, so probably what happened is protecting his sister from possibly her being abused. And now we don't know that. I mean, it also could be they just got into a big argument. He said, you know what, I don't like you, and, you know, punched him or something. But the thing is, like, you know, as much as we all like to be chivalrous, and I can't say that I wouldn't, you know, want to protect my sister as well, or, you know, in my daughter or anything like that, being a parent, and, you know, Gary knows this as well, just, but it's the weird times have changed. You can't do that stuff anymore. Everybody goes to jail for that now. There is no... Oh, well, he was the one protecting her. Well, guess what? You still go to jail, man. Like, this has been a thing that's been for years now. So you can decide that, oh, yeah, I got to be all like, hey, I had to defend. You got to think about, you want to pick up charges? There's a better way to handle this. You know? Have one of your boys do it. You know?
I mean, we have Sean heard Smith, the whole Fall Guy thing before, so...
If you're Sean Smith, you don't have any... I'm being honest, though, but, like, if you're Sean Smith, you don't have a boy out there that can just, you know, next time he's walking down the street, just, you know, be discreet and let him know what's up. Like, I mean, but, like, you know, for the most of us common folk, we don't got that kind of role. But Sean Smith does. So why endanger yourself in your playing career? I get it, protect family, but, again, this has been the way it's been for a long time now. Everybody goes to jail when it becomes a violent situation. And if he's found guilty at all of having punched anyone or whatever, you know, the league is going to do something. Number one, mm-hmm. We've already seen how they are about this. We talked about for an hour and a half about how they are on the last show. And, you know, we don't even know what the court's... He's going to get at least get probation. Mm-hmm. So then you got to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've already seen that the league, you know, has to set a principle, and they're trying their best to clean the image up of the league. And all the stuff coming out is definitely not, you know, good for them. But, I mean, heck, I mean, guys, I mean, why don't they just go ahead and hire their own enforcers to help these guys? You know, the guys have every opportunity for the DUI situations. They can call actually an NFL person to come and pick them up at bars or wherever they're at. That the NFL sets it up. They'll pay for it on their dime to take you home. That way you're not driving drunk. So why don't they just set them up maybe a few enforcers? That way, you know, hey, don't punch that guy.
Get a bodyguard, man.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, that's what's funny, too, Sean. I'm glad you brought
that
up.
Get a bodyguard for her.
Yeah. Well, exactly. But don't you think that these guys, they make pretty decent money. Why don't you think that they would have that? And especially when you go out to public places. But this is a home situation. He probably wouldn't have a bodyguard sitting around at home. But, you know, still.
He wouldn't, but I would. I mean, you know, pay someone who's good at something like wushu boxing. Slide him a few $100 or a few grand and say, hey, keep me out of trouble. You do your job, you get paid, I get paid, we all win. If you want to do certain things recreationally on the side when things are downtime, that is also welcome on my dime. I'd have a whole arrangement worked out.
Of course, we'll probably know more about the whole situation by the time we get to the Monday night show. So we'll get to talk about it more then, but, you know, hey, if somehow he didn't hit anyone, then all right, he didn't. But going on the information that we have right now, saying that he did, it's not a good look right now when you have the whole Zeke situation. Thankfully this is not domestic violence, right? At least it's not that, because that would have just been a whole nother ordeal if that would have been him hitting a woman. So thankfully it wasn't that, but this isn't that much better, I guess.
Especially given the impending war, whatever you want to call it, between the NFL and the NFLPA, it's on the fringes, but it still looks bad regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is one of those things you really can't help, because it does present a whole big legal problem. So it's not like you can just go, oh, we're going to act like this wasn't a big deal and we'll sleep it under the rug or whatever, when you have so much felony assault that you're facing 7 years in prison. No joke. You must have beat him bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you either beat him bad, or there's probably some other stuff we don't know about, some other charges. It's, yeah. Something's up.
Well, again, I mean, hopefully for him he gets good news, but right now it doesn't look very likely. Sorry, I'm just going around searching for... It's been a long time since I've had to look for a charge cord for a laptop while I'm having to record a show. So I have a PC that's hooked up to a wall normally. So, but I cannot climb stairs. while having to recover from this surgery, so I had to be downstairs. But anyway, I wasn't planning on having to talk about this, but hey, you know what? News breaks all the time, so sometimes we gotta be ready. But there was, you mentioned this impending issue between the league and the NFLPA. Of course, it stems from the Ezekiel Elliott situation that we discussed at length on Friday. So if you want to hear us talk about that, if you for some reason haven't had your fill about Ezekiel Elliott and his 6-game suspension, you can listen to us talk about it for about 1 hour and 10 minutes. But hey, we talked about the NFLPA needed to do more, right? Well, here they are doing more by basically just telling the league how they feel about them. And the league also didn't mince words either. And then, of course, DeMaurice Smith comes out and says that pretty much in 2021 we can expect that there will be a work stoppage. And look, you know, a lot of things could happen between now and 2021. This is a long ways from now, but this doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. And here's the thing. I think the Players Association has realized that they've kind of put themselves in a big pickle, and that pickle is giving the league too much power. I think when they first signed the agreement, they thought the NFL was going to be more fair with their players, and they were going to take a lot more of the money. They were going to concede the money, but they were going to hopefully get the respect of the NFL. Now the NFL has gone so far to say, we don't care. You're making us the money. We're the boss. You do what we say. And now you're starting to get the rumblings again, and here we go, and the fire's starting to be lit in the PA and all that. And Ezekiel Elliott probably did ignite this fire even more, especially with the case the way it was and the inconsistencies with the case and the fact that the NFL really didn't have a lot of things to go on, but they still felt like they needed to do what they needed to do, and all that's understood. So I think the Roger Goodell having so much power, the fact that, you know, he's able to kind of control who kind of watches it out for these impending suspensions and those kind of things, has really ignited this situation. And I'm really kind of curious to see how much muddier this is going to get. And of course, you know, what the Players Association is going to say, especially after Ezekiel Elliott's second hearing is done, and how this appeal is going to take place. Because even in that, I'm hearing rumblings that the NFL's already decided 6 games is what they were going to stick with, and the guy's just going to wait till the 29th to announce it in front of people. So, I mean, they've already made their decision this early in the game. The Players Association hates that.
And personally, if just going on that little tidbit of information, if that's true, I really don't see the Players Association sitting back and waiting until 2020 or 2021 to have this work stoppage. If they see incidents like this, and if they see the NFL is going to do these sorts of things on a consistent basis, they're going to force the issue. They're going to force the issue soon. I mean, I would personally put an over-under on maybe 2019, because the Players Association, as we talked about and as I've talked about on previous shows, they've got a lot of things that they want to outline. They're starting to get together a game plan for the new CBA. Now this is going to be a big part of it. And I went among quite a few people that have said players would have to be willing to miss games. If this is going on, and you can throw in a variety of situations between Ezekiel Elliott, how the league is, from some person's point of view, treating Colin Kaepernick, there's a lot of question marks floating around. And if these players want to miss games sooner rather than later, just to prove a point, then I think they would be more prepared.
You know, this is going to be an eternal problem between the NFL and the NFLPA of what is right, what is wrong. 6 games, 4 games. The the whole crux of the issue is what Gary said at the beginning. The NFLPA screwed themselves when they decided to give Roger Goodell sole power on deciding decisions. And then, oh, well, Ezekiel Elliott finds out that he gets the better of the end of things when he gets Mr. Henderson to hear his case, but it's still a guy that worked for the NFL for years.
It worked the NFL. I believe he was on the Adrian Peterson case. He was on the Greg Hardy case. So take that for what it's worth. And you're absolutely right. The NFLPA screwed themselves because they really weren't banking on missing games. They didn't want to miss games. I think now they realize, kind of worked in our favor in 82, kind of worked in our favor in 87. It can maybe work again.
Right, but the other commissioners kind of worked more with the league. Right?
Well, it was the same commissioner. Both of those were under Rozell.
Yeah, Rozell and Tagliabue kind of worked better with the players, but also the players had a bit less power than they do now. Yeah. So I feel like Goodell might be feeling like he has to be extra powerful because we're seeing it with Donald Penn, we're seeing it with Le'Veon Bell, we're seeing it with Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald, we saw it today that he might decide to miss games because he wants a better contract. And look, it's all in his right to decide that he wants to be paid more
by the team.
But you're still under contract to that team. And so, you know.
But as you said, it's about the players having more power. You're starting to see it exercised on an individual basis. Who's to say that if these things don't work, then the players don't get together and start to exercise that power en masse?
That's something I think neither person wants. But we've seen the owners exercise that right as well of saying, hey, you know what, we'll bring those replacements in. Well, and then you won't be getting paid.
Well, that would be some great coverage if they decide to dip into whatever arena football leagues are still left around. Bonus for me, but it wouldn't be good for everybody else.
The quality of the league would suffer greatly.
Yeah. It would be a really tough time for the league. And really, honestly, to be honest with you, the NFL cannot afford to have that type of work stoppage. It sounds kind of crazy, but it really does shine a lot on what we saw with the NHL. They took a huge dip. Maybe not as popular, for sure, but the NFL, they're battling. Basketball is a pretty high-stakes thing, too, because people are paying more and more attention to the basketball. Soccer is becoming a more important game in the States than it ever was in the past. And so the NFL is competing a lot more now than they ever were.
And their ratings went down last year. Yeah, and they're already prognosticating that the ratings are going to go down again.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a multitude of reasons. We could take another hour and a half on why the ratings went down. So saying all that, I mean, you put in backup players, you put players that no one knows. Yeah, fantasy football all the same became less fun. You also got people not really caring to buy merchandise because who's going to buy the jersey of some random guy that just got through, you know, working at the insurance company because, hey, I got called up, right? So that's the thing. The NFL has to concede some things, and they're going to. I guarantee you this next situation where they actually renegotiate, the owners are going to have to concede a little bit, and the commissioner is going to have a little less power. It's just going to have to be that way. That's the way we're working that, because trust me, the NFL players are seeing those basketball contracts and some of the baseball contracts, and they're thinking, I'm putting my body in line.
But you can't pay them that much money.
Oh, I agree with you. I totally do. But you know they're still peaking over there. And you know they still feel like they deserve that money. Because, you know, these guys are getting hit on a regular basis. Whereas, you know, the other guys get injured in basketball and baseball. But not as much. And, you know, there's also not life-changing injuries that are taking place as much as the NFL. So, all this is adding up.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking about the ratings. By 2021, who the hell knows where everything is at with TV and all that. So, you know, we could be talking about more declining ratings by the time we get to that time period. You know, if the world had ended by then. So it's not talking about our current political climate or anything, but just, you know, considering how many crazy things keep happening.
Yeah.
It's not anything out of the ordinary for that to be going on.
Let's just say when Stan Lee goes, we all need to be worried.
Yeah, that's true.
No wonder there's been a spike in bunker sales. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to worry about that eclipse and what could happen afterwards whatsoever now. It's all good. It's all good.
But, yeah, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, trying to prognosticate what's going to happen in 5 years is crazy, but things don't look good now.
Exactly why I'm saying call up Vegas and place your bets. Let's get a good over-under and some prop bets going on this deal. Make us some money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the league and the player association really got to come together if they want to try to avoid something in the next few years. But by the way that things keep going with how the league handles decisions, it's not looking that likely. But moving on from this, Roger Goodell, we just talked about him. He did kind of side with the players as far as the whole sitting during the national anthem, which we saw Marshawn Lynch do during the Raiders game as well. And we also had Hugh Jackson come out and say that he hopes that they really don't do that in Cleveland, kind of leaning more towards like he doesn't want to see that. Because, hey, coach has got opinions too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got their own feelings on this whole sitting, standing, putting your fist in the air thing during the national anthem. We already got players pledging that they're going to do that. You know, Michael Bennett from the Seahawks. You got a couple of other guys saying they're going to do the whole putting their fist in the air. And Roger Goodell says, look, we've got to understand that everybody has different thoughts and feelings. We can't sit here and make them feel a certain way. This is still a country of free speech. It's a point of pride. This is a really important moment. And, hey, we got to respect those rights that they have. So, I mean, I feel like he did said the right things. I don't know if there's really a way to, say, solve this thing. You kind of just got to let it happen.
Yeah, it's letting it run its course. I mean, from Kaepernick to Lynch to Bennett to everybody, and I had mentioned this way back in the day, they're nonviolent.
Well, and let's be honest, too, they're not going to stop until all the political issues stop.
Right. I mean, it's, first of all, nonviolent. Yes, you're drawing attention to an issue in a specific way, but it's really the best way that they can. It's very public. You're at a very public venue, public situation where in the stadium alone, thousands of eyes are on you. If the games are televised, which they are, even with declining ratings, you still have more millions of eyes on you. It's going to bring up questions. It's going to, at the very least, bring up dialogue, which now more than ever is needed in this country. So I think Roger Goodell realizes that. And you're going to have a lot of coaches and who I call the old heads think a different way. And I respect their opinions, too. And as you said, there's no real way to solve this. But the players are at least deciding, hey, I've got this opportunity to bring light in this way. This is the best that I can do to bring this light this way. Have at it.
I would say, Gary, that, you know, the league faced a lot of problems with this from ratings perspective, as far as from fan polls. One of the biggest reasons why they stopped watching games, because they got tired of hearing about political this, political that, while watching something that's not that in sports. It's also on the media side to just act like this is a normal thing and stop covering it and stop having the national anthem played before the game being shown on TV. We used to never really have that before the game shown on TV. Not until these political things started happening. So doesn't the TV companies also have to decide, look, we're just not gonna, we're gonna not make this a big deal?
Excuse me. Yeah, you're right. And what's funny is, if I remember, for the longest time, you never saw the national anthem. It's not until this whole thing went down where they started saying, hey, let's cut in early. Let's show it. Let's see who's not standing. And let's, you know, kind of cover this. Let's make it a bigger deal. We'll have our commentators talk about it for about 15 minutes. And trust me, everyday fans, they see enough of this world. They have the, you know, the nightly news. If they wanted to see the news or see political stuff, that's what they'd watch. But they didn't choose to do that. They chose to sit down and watch a football game. That's what they want to watch. They want to be entertained, and they want to have a good time, and they don't want to be brought down by the things that are just really depressing our society at this moment. And that's the thing. I mean, and so I understand where ratings went down there. I've, you know, kind of evolved in this thought process on the whole kneeling thing, because I always thought, well, you know, it's, we're bringing one thing into play and we're taking away from something else. You know, I always look at the military side of it, and that's just because, you know, I've always, not being super patriotic or anything, but I always respect my military. I love, you know, it, because my grandfather fought in World War II. I have several family members who served and, you know, luckily lived and didn't pass away, but there's a lot that didn't. So that's always into play, and I think that's what's in a lot of the hearts and minds of these people. It's not because they don't believe in, you know, some of these things that are being spoken by these players by kneeling, but it's just the fact that they think of the military side. I'm actually kind of coming around to where I don't mind seeing a guy kneel. It really doesn't bother me anymore. I think at first it did because of the military stuff, but now I understand. Eric, you said it right. It's non-violent. It's a very, you know, important thing to these players, so do it. I'm not so big on the fist stuff because it brings to light a lot of other things that were not good in time in the history. True. And that's the only thing I don't like, because I don't agree if a white player was to do that, or a Hispanic player, or a Japanese player, because that would be disrespectful to African Americans, I feel. So I think the kneeling thing, everybody can be included. This is what I love about sports. You have many people of different races, cultures. It's almost the one thing we can look at and say it's inclusive. We're not fighting against each other, we're working together for a common goal. Whereas there's a lot of other things in our society we can't. And it kind of bothers me that now we're bringing that into our sports, and now we're dividing each other in sports, and I kind of hate that. But hey, if the kneeling thing is what they want to do, I'm completely fine with it. I have come around to it. I think Roger Goodell himself has probably seen that as well. So I'm okay with that. The fist thing, I'm not so big on. But I want to see the NFL, I want to see these players stand up for what's right. And if it's to just to kind of, hey, think about this, you know, that's fine. Let's just not do anything that's too more vulgar. And this is my only worry, guys. And it's for the fact that the kneeling is fine. I'm worried they're going to take it further, because the way our society is, it's kind of weird. But people say, oh, that's the norm. I'm going to amp it up. I'm going to make something else. That's the only thing I'm worried about. I don't want to start seeing them amp up things.
It's always that level of sort of one-upmanship, and you bring up a valid point. I mean, yes, when you had the athletics, the track runners, as they were getting their medals, I believe it was Mexico City, the Olympics in 68, they put their fists up in the air. That was a completely different time. That held a different meaning. Now, even with recent events, those sort of issues have come around full force, but you're absolutely right. Even with recent tragedies, that sort of emotion has a different feeling now 50 years later. And for one thing, you're going to see it be amped up to the fist in the air, and be amped up to markings on shoes or undershirts, and it could eventually go into touchdown celebrations. It, who knows? And
well, yeah, especially now that the league has gone down on their deal about what you put on your shoes and all that. So
exactly, and I mean, it gets to a point to where certain things are okay, but, and to use the proper terms, you're going to keep moving the goalposts. You get to a point to where do you move it to?
Mm-hmm. It becomes also a problem, too, for the fact that we have the issue of, you know, our society right now, especially in the United States of America, of this racial inequality, racial battles, and that sucks. I hate that, man. I was just on Twitter today or Facebook and talking about this because it bothers me to no end. I'm like, we're past this. Let's move on. I just don't understand the thought process, but we're fueling the fire day by day through social media.
But then you offended someone, right? So you
exactly. And I offended someone in my post about not offending people. Isn't that funny? So that's what's it's crazy about the way that this all is working, and especially in sports where there's a huge focus on what these guys do and how they do it and how they portray themselves. And I don't want it to go to where guys are hating each other because one guy on the team doesn't believe in what the other guy is doing and cultural differences. That's just not in a place. Let's be a uniform. That's why they have uniforms, right? Because we need to know who's on the same team. So let's just be uniform. Let's say stand beside our brothers and say, look, we're here for each other. This is what matters. I'm behind you 100%. If you want to, on your Twitter page, put what you want. Let people know your thought processes on things because people still are going to pay attention. Let's not get so far away from that. This is a team sport, and that's probably the one biggest thing we have right now in our society is team sports mean unity. Nothing else really means unity.
That's very true. You know, it's a whole different issue now with everything, pretty much, at this point. So, moving on now to things a lot less political, but perhaps funny or maybe just weird. So, Delvin Bro, or Brew? Bro. He plays for the Saints. He was injured. And so, the training staff, they diagnosed him with a fractured contusion of his leg. And so, then comes out later that it's taken him a while to come back from this injury, and the team's sitting there going, what the heck's going on here? And so then they come and find out, an independent doctor comes and looks at his x-ray. He has a fractured fibula, and he's got to be out for 6 weeks. So two guys now lose their job on the training staff because they wrongly diagnosed somebody's injury from a contusion to wind up being a fracture. So no one is safe in preseason, not even the training staff.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, everybody's got to be doing their job.
Okay, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But I still have to ask myself, how do you get that far wrong? I mean, broken bone's a broken bone. Okay.
Yeah.
I was astonished. I was astonished myself. I was like, You guys are orthopedics. Like, don't you know what this looks like? I mean,
maybe they got their degree online. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I can't really answer this because I really wish I knew these guys' credentials. Like, where do they go to school? You know, where do they practice? So those kind of things. Like, how they. It's interesting, but I mean, you're right. I mean, these things do happen, but it's not really usual for guys on the training staff to be released like this and fired because, you know, false diagnoses and things. This is a concern, though, man. I mean, to be honest with you, because now looking at this, the Saints players, but the other players are probably saying, okay, this guy that's looking at me and evaluating my injury, I sure hope he knows what he's talking about, because either he's going to cause me to miss more time or, you know, maybe I'm going to be getting myself even more hurt because he false diagnosed me or misdiagnosed me, is proper terminology. So I don't know. This is kind of a crazy story. It's kind of funny, but it really kind of sucks for the player.
Yeah, it does suck for the player. But, I mean, the player already knew he was going to be out. It just kind of sucks for him on the, well, my team got the wrong idea about me, thinking that I was kind of playing it soft, and really it was their fault. So, you know, you got to be on your toes if you're these players, too, because when you're trying to make the team and these doctors don't diagnose you correctly and they go, oh, well, we can get rid of this guy now.
Whoops. Yeah.
Whoops, yeah. I mean, I wonder if there have been any doctors that have done this that might have cost a player their job or anything like that. That would be interesting to find out. So, one of the guys I will talk about from the first week of the preseason that we, Eric and I, did watch, even though we won't really be talking about it at length here because, look, it already happened. I'm not going to sit here and talk about week one when week two already happened. We just miss it. It happens sometimes. TJ Watt was an absolute beast in his game against the Giants. He was everywhere. He was sacking Josh Johnson, sacking Geno Smith, who actually looked kind of decent in that game.
Say what?
And then, you know, he was very much like his brother. The name is not being tarnished at all on the younger one. And he could definitely get as much hype and maybe even take the job of James Harrison in week one. After just one game in the preseason, it forced James Harrison to go, you know what, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it, even if that means coming, being in a reserve role. So would they really be taking what they saw here and go, James Harrison, sit down, boy. Sit down. TJ Watt's got this. Now, to be fair, James Harrison is 39, but the dude is still a beast when it comes to sacking and playing the run game.
Yeah. He's 39, but doesn't he spend either tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars a week on acupuncture and all kinds of treatments for his body to keep himself in shape? Yeah, this is exactly what I'm saying, and I'm going to react the same way with TJ Watt that I did with Mitch. Yes, I'm going to still call him Mitch because it sounds less dorky, Trubisky. Yes, this was a great performance. Yes, this means he can do great things. Ease him into it. Give him a few more snaps the second week of the preseason. And if you determine that he's the top guy, James Harrison's already cool with it, you can get that 90% locked in come week three. You just know now that you have a bright spot.
What do you think, Gary?
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting to me. And I think, you know, it's great for TJ Watt to come out and have such a smashing performance at the beginning of here in you know, his first game. Even though it's preseason, it's still a, you know, excellent job on his part. I think, you know, we got to taper our expectations still. I mean, you got to let the guy, you know, go through some more games and, you know, see if he faces tougher opponents, things like that, before you start talking about starting job. But it's not a bad idea to get a young guy out and, you know, give him an opportunity to kind of work with the number ones and see what he can do. And, you know, if he does replace a 39-year-old player, I mean, heck, good for them. And, you know, no matter how good James Harrison is, if you know Watt can get his opportunities and get him early, it's better for him. So, hey, and, you know, with James Harrison being a team player like that, that means even more good things for them. So I'm happy for him. I just, you know, I'm going to taper my expectations.
Yeah, as am I. Again, great things, but let's wait before we all decide to overreact here. I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, there's, you know, everybody, you know, watching their teams are going to be rooting for the rookies, right? And they're really hoping these guys are exactly why they drafted them in number one, number two, three. They want to see these guys perform. They get excited about that. And when they do well in preseason, it's the next thing you know is, I knew it. This guy is the next big thing, and he's going to do this, this, and this. They've already got, you know, guys rushing for, you know, 1,500 yards. They've already got guys getting, you know, 17 sacks this year. All these big, extraordinary numbers. But it's for the excitement of the player, and you know, really the truth of it is most, and I'm not saying all, because there's definitely those exceptions, but there are a majority of those young players come in and do moderate to good. And that's great, and that's what it's for, right? That's what your rookie season's about. So, yeah, let's see how things, you know, can go from here.
My Venezuelan grandma does not understand what recording looks like. So she just decided, you know, and then my daughter, who understands what, you know, when dad has these headsets on, you don't talk. So she's telling him, you know, she's telling her to shh, and she keeps talking. So I'm just, that's making me laugh. I couldn't find the mute button, so this was wonderful radio for a second, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, you did kind of spare me, because Gary was providing all of these thoughtful things and wonderful insights about how fans are, and I was just about to mention, or the preseason, you could be like me and you could struggle to get the player's name right. I'm sure Strathfellow will always be called Marshmallow now. If you're listening,
Stringfellow.
I'm sorry.
Stringfellow.
See what I mean? See what I mean? Look, I'm doing a step up. It's a lot better than Marshmallow, okay? I'm trying here. Plus, this shows you how much attention I paid to Ole Miss during the season last year. Okay.
So, Tremaine Brock, who formerly played with the 49ers, and he was actually pretty good with the 49ers, signed with the Seattle Seahawks. He's 28 years old. He was dismissed because he had a pending court case against him. And, hey, the Seahawks got themselves a nice partner for Richard Sherman, which they've been searching for a little while, as Deshaun Shedd wasn't that great last year, and he's coming back from a knee injury. They got a rookie. But, you know, rookie. And he's not one of those rookies that you're going, oh, man, he's really going to be this wonderful talent. And Jeremy Lane also has a big soft tissue injury, which those things can be long-lasting. So perhaps solving some of the issues from last year, then?
Filling up some of those patches in their vaunted, you could call, I wouldn't quite say they're the Legion of Boom now, but they're trying to get back to that, and this is a major step in that direction.
Yeah, and you know, this is the best news for Seahawks fans, and you know, they want to see that Legion of Boom back. But you know, it's going to take some rebuild a little bit here, and you know, taking this step forward is a really positive thing.
The Indianapolis Colts got horrible news with their best offensive lineman on offensive line, it was already really bad, goes down with a broken bone in his foot. He's going to be out at least 6 weeks on IR, on the IR with designated to return, because he's going to be out that long.
Ooh.
He will miss the first 6 games of the season, plus whatever it takes for him to get ready, so perhaps another 2 after that. And considering Andrew Luck's about to come off the PUP list, and even Ryan Kelly's backup is just coming off the PUP list himself, could be another one of those seasons where Andrew Luck is facing a lot of people in his face.
Yeah. Somewhere in an Indiana bar, Ursay is taking another drink.
Yeah, and you know what? If I'm Andrew Luck, I say, hey, I know you're going to take me off the PUP list, but put me back on. I'm just going to hang out there for a bit, and I'll be back in 6 weeks.
Yeah, but do you really want to subject Colts fans to the awesome and wonder that is Scott Tolzien?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I don't think anybody wants to do that. This is torture.
You know, this is a really huge shame, and it's almost like kicking someone when they're down. I hate that. You know, Colts fans, you know, they miss the glory days, and of course, you know, with this stuff going down, it just seems like all bad stuff. But, you know, we'll have to put their best foot forward and see what they can get out of this. This is just not good news at all.
Well, the Colts aren't the only ones that might be going through some torture. The Cleveland Browns might be going through that as well, especially if you leave Joe Thomas, who says, I think they're grooming Brock Osweiler to be the starter week one.
Oh, dear God.
I don't expect Deshaun Kizer to be the starter week one. Just because Deshaun Kizer might be good in a few years doesn't mean he's ready now. Brock Osweiler starting week two of the preseason, by the way. Just a little factoid there. Osweiler, 6-14, 42 yards, although it was against the better defense. Kizer, 184 yards and a touchdown. I don't know. Kizer looked better, but they still want to go with Osweiler. The dude still didn't show anything that was so much, you know, should give you the reason for him to be starting. But hey, you know, maybe Hugh Jackson's seeing stuff that we aren't.
No, you see, this is what Browns fans get. They were all elated when they got the trade for Osweiler, because they're like, you know what? We're just going to dump him off, we're going to get another draft pick, and then we're going to be just fine. We're not going to be the laughingstock anymore. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. They forget that they're dealing with the Browns. There's a part of me that saw this coming, but wow, I mean, is there a point to where you can feel so bad for a franchise and a fan base, but still have this gloriously perfect moment of schadenfreude? I mean, this is really doing an emotional roller coaster on me right now. I want to laugh so hard I can cry, and cry so hard I can laugh.
Yeah, you know, the poor Cleveland Browns. I mean, I get it. You know, you're paying the guy pretty nice money. You think to yourself, why not just give him a shot? That's fine, too. It's just, it does not look like anything that's super positive. I would rather go with a young guy. I would rather take my licks in that form instead of giving a guy that's honestly proven he's just not that great. So, I mean, I get it, you know. Maybe they just want to see what they have here. Maybe they really feel like that there was something that he wasn't doing with the Houston Texans. Maybe the Houston Texans were at fault for him not doing well. But I don't know. I think they're setting themselves up for something that's not that happy and exciting for their fans.
Yeah, I'm going to mark this tape because, Sean, you've already kind of gotten into it with me about rooting for teams like the Browns to go 0-16. Take note of moments like this. Take note of decisions like this. If they get off to a, say, 0-5, 0-6 start, you'll be hearing from me again.
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to root for a team to go 0-16, fair enough. I mean, look, I don't have any ill will towards Brock Osweiler or anything. So, look, hopefully for the Browns and for the league, he somehow gets better in this 3 weeks of the preseason that are left, and maybe he can be decent on week one. But hey, he's still playing for the Browns, so somehow they're gonna mess us up one way or the other. It is what it is. But I feel bad for, I think a lot of Browns fans wanted to see Sean Kizer start, and now he's probably not, and it's kind of sad. So, all right, that's gonna do it for us talking some football this week. Until, you know, next on Monday, we'll be breaking down games from week two of the preseason. We will be seeing you later, everybody.
Peace.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.